This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We call together the meeting, the first meeting of this week of the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services. The Secretary will call the roll.
Dempster.
Yep.
Gant.
Here.
Gerstad.
Here.
Merchant.
Here.
Miles.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Adelstein.
Aye. The first order of business that we have today is to review the minutes of the last meeting. Is there a motion to approve them?
Second.
Gann approved the seconds, and Miles moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Therefore, the minutes are approved as submitted. The first item on the agenda today is Senate Bill 1093 that had been heard before. And there's an action pending on 183. Senate Bill 183, on which there had been a previous motion to send to appropriations. The motion had been made by Senator Gant and seconded by Senator Miles. Either we need to kill that one because it's too late to send it to appropriations, or have the motion withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Senator Gant.
I'll second it.
Senator Miles approves. That is now withdrawn. So we now have the bill of which I'm prime sponsor, 1093. We have no other pending action, right?
Well, now we have a due pass motion, but it's actually...
Okay, we're back to a due pass motion by Senator Merchant, Gerstad, seconded by Senator Merchant.
Well, Mr.
Chair. Yes.
I withdraw that motion.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator Gerstad. Senator Merchant, will you withdraw the second? Okay. Regrettably, as a prime sponsor of that bill and as the chairman of this committee, we're going to have to table it because the so-called assistance in the economy that has come down to us, which I consider, for the record, a gross fraud, particularly on the people of South Dakota, maybe to all the American people, interferes with our badly needed and appropriate service to women who are at a poverty level of 200%, but who desperately need prenatal service. We've had testimony before the committee discussing the number of children that would die, the number of children that would be born with deformities, and the one number of women that would be have a hardship for perhaps the rest of their lives. But as I say, the so-called stimulus bill is to me one of the most terrible things that's happened, and interferes with a normal process of state government. But I'll entertain a motion, sadly, to table that bill.
Mr. Chair, I will so move.
Moved by Senator Hansen and seconded by Senator Dexter. For the record, the Secretary will call the roll.
Dempster.
Aye.
Gant.
Aye.
Gerstad.
Aye.
Merchant.
Aye.
Miles.
Aye.
Hansen.
Here. Aye.
Adelstein.
Sadly, aye. That bill is now tabled, although the committee can be prepared to, if it becomes appropriate between now and the end of the session, to either amend another bill or find some other solution on the floor, or to come up with a recommended amendment to the general bill at worst case. We next hear Senate Bill, House Bill 1080. Are there proponents of House Bill 1080?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Scott Swear with the Attorney General's Office, appearing on behalf of Attorney General Long today. First of all, we'd like to say hello. Our office does not make it very often in front of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, but we think this bill is duly placed in this committee today, and we're obviously looking forward to working with you this morning, and Attorney General Long sends his regards. House Bill 1080 is an act to revise certain provisions relating to internet and mail order sales of cigarettes and tobacco products. The Attorney General thinks this is a very straightforward bill on what is admittedly a rather complex topic. House Bill 1080 has three primary objectives. First, it protects the public health. The second objective is that it protects state revenues. And the third objective is that House Bill 1080 brings South Dakota's non-face-to-face laws into compliance with the United States Supreme Court's recent decision in Roe versus New Hampshire Motor Transport Association. So those are the three objectives of the bill. Here is what the bill does. House Bill 1080 bans the non-face-to-face, and we'll talk about that term in a moment. It bans the non-face-to-face sales of cigarettes and tobacco products to any consumer in South Dakota. Now, non-face-to-face sales are sales that occur via the internet, via phone order, or via mail order. So that is, in a nutshell, what the bill does. It bans those non-face-to-face sales of cigarettes and tobacco products to any consumer in South Dakota. It is an intrastate, not an interstate act. There are four fundamental problems that we are trying to rectify with this bill. The four fundamental problems with non-face-to-face sales are this. Number one, these sales deprive South Dakota of cigarette tax revenue. As you know, South Dakota law requires that state taxes be paid on all cigarettes sold in South Dakota. Non-face-to-face sellers don't pay these taxes. Thus, it deprives our state of that tax revenue. The second fundamental problem with these sales is that it places legitimate South Dakota retailers at a disadvantage. Again, because these non-face-to-face sellers don't charge or pay the proper South Dakota tax, they undercut South Dakota's legitimate retailers. The third fundamental problem is that these non-face-to-face sellers fail to verify the age of purchasers. So what we have in a very practical situation is we have underage consumers here in South Dakota, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old kids, having easy and illegal access to cigarettes and tobacco products. And finally, the fourth fundamental problem is that it allows face-to-face sellers to sell these products through the back door. Again, they refuse to comply with South Dakota's tax laws. They also, of course, provide our youth illegally with cigarette and tobacco products. So those are what the Attorney General sees as the four fundamental problems with these non-face-to-face sales. Real quickly, in South Dakota right now, we do have what can be slightly termed a non-face-to-face law. It's what's called a delivery sales legislation, and that's found at SDCL 10-50-93. That requires this. It requires that any company that accepts a cigarette order has to comply with several verification, disclosure, and registration requirements before the sale can be completed. So that is the law that, as of right now, we have in place. The question then comes up, of course, why do we need to change it? Here's why the law needs to be changed. In 2008, February 20th of 2008, almost exactly a year ago, the United States Supreme Court issued its decision in Roe versus New Hampshire Motor Transport Association. That particular case invalidated the state of Maine's delivery sales legislation. Maine's delivery sales law is similar, if not almost identical, to our current law in South Dakota. A little bit of trivia, it's interesting that the Supreme Court actually struck this law down under the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act of 1994. If you are having trouble sleeping at night, that is a wonderful, fun decision and piece of legislation to read. The reason it was struck down under that Federal Aviation Act is that it required delivery companies, your DHL, your UPS, those type of delivery companies, to verify the age of recipients. So when the UPS fella gets out of his truck, he goes up and delivers cigarettes to little Johnny's front door, UPS guy was required to verify that indeed Johnny was over the age of being allowed to have cigarettes. That verification requirement that Maine's law required is what was deemed in violation of the Federal Aviation Administration Authorization Act. You can't do that anymore. However, what the Supreme Court said and what the Solicitor General of the United States implied is that an outright ban of these non-face-to-face sales is okay. So we can't require people to have age verification requirements or things like that. But if you have an outright ban of these non-face-to-face sales, that those would probably be okay. So that's what we've done. Section 8 of House Bill 1080 is really the nuts and bolts of this bill. And again, very simply, it prohibits the non-face-to-face sales of cigarettes or tobacco products to consumers in South Dakota. You'll notice that this is a rather lengthy bill, probably the most lengthy bill you'll ever see the Attorney General bring. The reason for that, of course, is the bill includes an entire deletion of our current delivery sales laws, which are going to be violative of federal law. So that's what it does. It simply bans the non-face-to-face sales of cigarettes and tobacco products to consumers in South Dakota. The Attorney General believes that this meets three very important objectives. Number one, it protects the public health, which is why we are in front of this committee today. Number two, it protects state revenues. Again, by requiring people who do have cigarette deliveries in South Dakota, they have to abide by the applicable state taxes. And finally, the Attorney General believes that HB 1080 meets the important objective of complying with the United States Supreme Court's decision in the Roe case. During our previous testimony in the House, the South Dakota retailers indicated that they also believe that this is the only logical solution to this issue. We were very pleased that this bill got through the Senate Judiciary Committee with no nay votes. It received, I believe, a 64-1 affirmative vote on the House floor. So we think this is an extremely good bill. It's a common sense bill. It is admittedly an extremely complex topic, but we do believe that the bill meets those criteria that the Attorney General believes are extremely important. So thank you, and I will look forward to any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Are there further proponents of this bill? Are there further proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. I'll be brief. We did work with the Attorney General's office prior to the start of the legislative session on House Bill 1080. I do think in a lot of respects it does help level the playing field. It's a very complex issue, but one in which we see a lot, particularly with our tobacco retailers, where they're losing sales to out of state and particularly to some of these shippers where you are losing out on the tax revenue. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions, but we do support the bill.
Are there further proponents of this bill? Are there further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to this bill? Any proponents to House Bill 1080? Seeing none, we will close the committee to public testimony and move to questions. Are there any questions from any member of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dunter.
Our questions for the proponent?
Please.
He was kind enough to tell me that this included a ban on cigar sales over the internet, and I appreciated that kindness. Scott, my new standard for books, I'll read a book review and say I really want that book. and I'll go right to the internet, and I'll go to any one of five or six different sites. And typically I'll buy my new standard for pricing for a book is 50 cents plus shipping. Usually I can find that at a used bookstore someplace, I don't care where. And about 6-7 days later, I get the book, and the book, great book, costs me $4. Do I violate state law when I buy a book like that?
Please.
You would not violate if you were ordering a book. Obviously, this bill is simply limited to cigarettes and tobacco products. What you would be violating is if, of course, you are attempting to purchase, in your case, Senator Dempster, a pack of cigars over the internet. And that would be considered a non-face-to-face sale because you're not going down to the cigar shop in Sioux Falls and actually making that transaction face-to-face. This bill, if we analogize your example to this bill, this would, in fact, ban any cigarettes or tobacco products, including cigars, from being ordered by you over the internet and shipped to your home in your legislative district. It would absolutely ban that. Now, if we have a company, for instance, in Rapid City, who sells cigars or tobacco products to an individual, let's say in Oregon, all right, this bill does not prohibit that transaction between the cigar shop in Rapid City and the ultimate consumer in Oregon. It does not do that. We don't have the right to get into an interstate commerce issue like that. What we are simply banning is any internet mail order or phone sale of cigarettes or tobacco products that the end consumer is in South Dakota. So in your example, Senator Dempster, yes, if you're going over the internet and you're trying to buy a pack of cigars and you are going to have them shipped from somewhere to your home in South Dakota, this ban would apply to that situation.
So, please. I mean, one of the things I like about the internet is I live in South Dakota. A lot of times I don't have a lot of choice in things that we purchase because we're a small state. Internet gives me, as a cigar smoker 10 years ago, the internet would give me the ability of having exactly the same choice at probably lower prices than what I would find in a cigar store in New York City. Now, if we pass this bill, we've eliminated that choice, and you've also eliminated competition. And do I break the law when I buy, I mean, after this bill passes, which it likely will, if I bought cigars off the internet, who's to tell anybody that I've done that? I mean, these are big businesses. These are pretty legitimate businesses that specialize in little niche products. Once again, if I did that, which I wouldn't anymore, but if I did, would I be breaking the law?
If you notice in the bill, there are no type of criminal penalties for anyone who either sells or receives these tobacco these tobacco products or cigarettes. There's no criminal penalty that's attached. The penalty that is attached is it simply allows our office, the Attorney General's office, to move for injunctive relief against those sales. So technically, you would not be breaking the law, of course, in a criminal sense whatsoever. What the bill would do is it would give our office the ability to stop those sales. So yes, again, as we talked about this morning, this is an issue with folks who do order cigars primarily over the internet. However, we think, and we've put a great deal of thought into this bill, when you balance the objectives of this bill, which are public safety, primarily for minors, when you look at the revenue issue for the state of South Dakota and the amount of revenues that we are potentially losing here because these non-face-to-face sellers do not pay the revenues that everybody else in South Dakota has to pay. And when you look at what we have to do to come into compliance with the Roe decision, we certainly understand that this may have an effect similar to the one you're bringing up, Senator Dempster. But when we think we balance those objectives compared to the issue that you've brought up, the Attorney General still thinks that as a broad public policy matter, that this is a good bill. But those are some issues, of course, that we have heard about, that you've shared with me, and I can understand your position. We simply think that it's balanced out by the other objectives that we think the bill meets.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In follow-up to Senator Dempster's question, you said that this bill gives the Attorney General the right to stop that activity, which I'm presuming is you're either going to send agents to the personal home or you're going to send someone to Oregon, in your example, who is shipping the tobacco to South Dakota. How are you going to do that, and how many more people are you going to need to hire, and how much is that going to cost?
Yes, please.
When we talk about bringing an action for injunctive relief, it would not require any agents to go into Oregon or any other states. An injunctive relief action is simply a civil action brought in court. It's not a criminal action. So the way we would enforce that is to simply file a civil injunctive relief, probably here in Hughes County, ordering that person through the court system to stop what they're doing. Again, we wouldn't be sending DCI agents. We wouldn't be doing anything like that. We would simply be bringing a civil injunctive relief action here in South Dakota to stop the sale. We don't believe that there will be any increase in FTEs. There won't be any increase with our budget in enforcing this law. We're comfortable with that. The tobacco attorneys in our office who do deal with this are confident that it can be done within our current budget. So, in short, the matter is we don't see it costing any additional money for our office.
A brief follow-up.
Please.
So, not being a lawyer, this injunctive relief that you're going to file, is this, in a sense, a slap on the hand? Please don't do it again?
I think it's a little bit more of a slap on the hand. I think, number one, of course, that you stop the person from doing that. Number two, of course, is the bill also allows penalties. There are penalties in the bill where if someone continues to do this in a knowing way, that our office can, through the injunctive relief, ask that penalties be imposed on the non-face-to-face sellers. So I think that is an incentive that if we are successful in obtaining an injunction, that's an incentive to stop. I think placing some type of fee or some type of fine on them is an incentive to stop. And number three, the Department of Revenue and Regulation still has the ability to, for lack of a better word, try to go after these folks for not paying taxes they should in the state of South Dakota. So I think it's a little bit more of a slap on the wrist than just simply putting an injunction on them to stop. We feel that the teeth we have in the law are fair. It will get our public policy message across that indeed these are not permitted in South Dakota. So we feel good that we have the tools in our toolbox in this bill to do a little bit more than a slap on the wrist.
Further to Senator Gant?
Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How many states have this in place? And maybe you've mentioned that, but...
Please.
Of course, with the Roe decision, there were many states who had laws similar to ours in South Dakota. Now I think most of those states, in light of the Roe decision, are reevaluating their laws. At this point, we have Vermont, New York, Arkansas, Connecticut, Ohio, and Maryland who have enacted laws that are similar to House Bill 1080. So we are not on our own by any stretch. We are on the forefront of this type of activity in the United States. But when it comes to tobacco issues and tobacco enforcement and things like this, our office and the state of South Dakota has normally been on the forefront of moving these type of issues forward. So again, we're not the first. Other states have, but I think over the next year or two, we're going to see many other states will continue to fall in line. And again, that Supreme Court case just came out almost a year ago today. It was February 20th of 2008 that the Supreme Court issued that decision. So we are really at the forefront here. We have looked at the Vermont bill. The Vermont bill has been somewhat of a guide for us, but we think because we think it's the most simple and straightforward bill to both understand and also for our office to enforce if need be.
Senator Dempster.
Scott, to whom would the issue, would the injunctions be issued against?
Please.
The injunction would be issued against the person who is actually doing the non-face-to-face sale. So if, again, we have a company out in Oregon.
So the retailer.
Yes, the retailer who's making the sale.
Mail order guy.
Yes. Yes, sir.
But yet, if I understand correctly, if I own a cigar shop in Sioux Falls or in Rapid City, I can sell my cigars on the Internet to somebody else.
Please.
In another state?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can do that. Because if what we get into there is if we try in South Dakota to ban our retailers from shipping to Minnesota or Oregon or California, we then run into an interstate commerce issue where we cannot regulate those type of activities. What we can regulate is we can regulate cigarettes or tobacco products being shipped within the borders of South Dakota to our consumers. So that is where we draw the fine line there. We don't have any authority under the Commerce Clause to ban someone in Rapid City from making the sale to someone in Oregon.
Senator Dempster?
So we can do that. We can do that to them, but they can't do that to us.
We can do that, again, as an intrastate transaction. The other states who are looking at these laws, and again, Vermont, New York, Arkansas, let's take Vermont as an example. If someone in Rapid City makes an internet purchase to, or again, makes an internet sale to someone in Vermont, Vermont has already said, retailer in South Dakota, you cannot ship your cigarettes, your tobacco products to our consumers in Vermont. So at this point, we are already precluded from anyone in South Dakota making a sale to a consumer in Vermont.
Mr. Chair, so each state then would put up these restraints themselves?
Yes, it would be a state-by-state decision as to if a state wanted to put this ban in place, the extent of the ban. There is no type of federal act that applies in this situation. But, as I indicated earlier, the Supreme Court in the Roe case implied that if states do want to do this, that it would be constitutional, and states simply have to make that decision in their state legislatures based on a public policy consideration.
Forgive me for firing all these questions. Can you tell me what kind of revenue impact there is that you'd expect that there would be with cigarettes? Can you tell me what kind of revenue impact you'd expect there to be with cigars?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Please.
We actually asked the Department of Revenue and Regulation to put together some numbers on that. They found that they really thought it would almost be an impossibility to give any type of firm number as to the amount of revenue they're losing. Again, we worked hard on that. We simply didn't think we could put a number together that we could justify bringing to you in good faith, that we could really feel confident that that would be a ballpark number. But we did look into doing that.
Further, Senator Dempster? Are there any further questions? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess we have to kind of apologize to you, Mr. Swear, for the fact that we have a very light load this morning, and you're giving us a pretty good briefing on kind of a complex and interesting question or issue. But I remember when, when the voters of South Dakota increased the tax on cigarettes by a pretty significant margin, and there was a fear that we were going to be losing a lot of sales, to this type of activity. Now, sales from non-domestic sales outside of the U.S., we would not have any way of applying this law to those sellers, I would assume. How much of an issue is are there tobacco products that are being shipped into the hands of a consumer right directly from some other country?
Please.
The short answer to that is yes, there are. Now, when we talk about whether or not our law can apply to, let's say, someone who is direct selling from Canada or Mexico or a non-domestic company, you really then get into an incredibly complex area of what is called personal jurisdiction. And it's a very well-litigated topic in the legal community. Our office has a lot of these type of cases. The cases are all over the place. Whether I can sit here and tell you for sure that, yes, we know that we could get personal jurisdiction over a company in Canada or Mexico who's trying to ship their products into South Dakota, no one can give you a definitive answer. We think that we would have a very strong argument that the tentacles of this law may be able to go into Mexico or Canada to have an impact on those sales. Again, unfortunately, it's not a yes or no answer I can give you. Personal jurisdiction is incredibly complex. And when you are dealing with foreign countries, it becomes even more complex. But it is something that we feel confident that we will at least have good arguments to bring those type of folks within the parameters of the law.
Are there further questions from you, Senator Dempster?
Other than the product, tell me how this would differ from the ban that we have on getting wine directly from who makes wine? From wineries.
Please.
This bill, of course, is very narrowly focused. It's narrowly focused on cigarettes and tobacco products. And for the Attorney General, for good reason, did not want any part of the wine controversy. So this bill wouldn't have any effect on that. Now, I understand where you're coming from with that issue, but seriously, this bill wouldn't have any effect on that. If that would be an area that someone would like to rectify what our current laws are, they could certainly do that. But our bill doesn't have anything to do with those wine sales.
Sure, but the analogy is it's a highly specialized product. It's a niche product where there's all sorts of unique people doing all sorts of unique things that has to do with something that we seek to control, both in terms of age and that we seek to tax. Same thing, isn't it?
Please.
Yes, I can definitely see your analogy. And, of course, I'm going to stick to my point that we are just dealing with tobacco and cigarettes and tobacco products here. But I can see your analogy, Senator Dempster, and I understand the issue you're bringing up. But, again, we think that this is narrowly focused on this issue.
Further questions?
How would you feel about an amendment?
Do you have an amendment?
I don't.
Okay.
Good. That was going to be my answer. We probably would not feel good about an amendment. So we're comfortable with our bill as it is.
It certainly would make it challenging at this point, with a brief bill of this nature, with no complexity. Nationally, are there any further questions or suggestions of activity for the committee on this bill? Hearing none, we move to the committee motions. I see Senator Merchant is about to move something.
I'll move due pass, please.
Senator Merchant moves due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Hansen. Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, the Secretary call the roll.
Dempster?
No.
Gant?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 6 ayes, 1 nay.
The motion passes. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? This is our last chance to take any bills off the table that we had. Let me introduce our two pages. In fact, we'll have them come forward. Miss Shireen Brazil, what a great name. Would you come forward and tell us a little bit about yourself? Please. Brazil. Okay, thank you. And what are you learning here, or is this your first day, or what are you thinking?
This is my first day.
You're looking forward to having a good time. What's your major interest in school?
International studies.
Very good. You're very appropriate. Thank you. And Shauna Van Zee, please. Good morning, Shauna. What brought you to Pierre?
Excuse me?
Yeah. What made you particularly interested in being a page?
Oh, well, I applied for the D.C. trip with Rural Electric this summer, went to D.C. and was there, and I really enjoyed it, so I wanted to come here and see on the state level.
Thank you very much. We hope you enjoy your time with us. This will be an easy committee. It gets more difficult than today sometimes.
Sure.
Thank you. Any further action from any committee member? A motion to adjourn? The Senator Miles moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Hansen. We stand adjourned.